I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Colleen Rooney, wag in chief, the greatest detective of her generation, spouse of Wayne, three-time face of Georgia Asda, my personal style icon, and six-time best-selling author, including the masterpiece we're reading today. Welcome to the world of Miss Colleen Rooney. So I am clearly a biased source, but what will the rest of the book club think of Colleen's magnum opus? Find out in today's Football Book Club.
Everyone was there at Wayne's 18th birthday party. Even Busted were there.
If you're someone that doesn't know anything about football, this is the best book to possibly read.
Hard man footballer Wayne Rooney is like hiding behind a door because he's scared of American tip culture.
Whatever did we do before the Scissor Sisters came on the scene?
You say Colleen or Colleen? I say Colleen. What are the emphasis on the Colleen?
Colleen.
Colleen. You guys say Colleen. What do you say, John?
I say Colleen. Have we started?
yeah. This is what happens when Bug's not here to anchor it.
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Lewis Carroll, more Bailey Peacock Farrell, and thank you to Adam Farrell for that one.
I love how it's just his own name. He's just like, he's been sitting there thinking, what could I do with my own name?
He's like,
but I'm not a footballer.
Well, actually, today, if you haven't noticed, I'm staging a coup today, so I've rewritten that. Today, here's one I came up with myself. Less Tom Clancy, more Abby Clancy.
Yes.
Legitimately good. No offense to Adam Farrell, but that's legitimately good. Partially because I've actually heard of Abby Clancy instead of not knowing who Bailey Peacock Farrell is.
I'm Natasha Daniels, and usually we read a different footballer's autobiography. But today I am large and in charge, and that's why we are reading Welcome to My World by Colleen Rooney. And joining me to read it are Jack Bernhardt.
All praise the new regime.
And James Belgian.
All hail Natasha Frisco.
Oh shit, I used my old name. Sorry, husband.
lots of monoliths are being toppled today. We've got James Buggers down. Ash has gone back to her old name.
Yeah, the matriarchy is rising. How are we all doing?
Very good. Very happy that James is dead.
Well, do you want me to let you know where he is?
Yeah, go on, then.
Are you wondering what's going on? Well, there's no James today. He's in Korea, but he has sent a little message to you guys. Would you like to listen to it?
Yeah,
go on then.
Okay.
Hello, Tash Daniels. Just in the hotel. But the important thing is I'm trusting you with the show this week. Exciting, but I want it to still be there by the time I'm back from holiday. So don't let me down. Don't mess with the format or, I don't know, do something mad like read a Wag's autobiography. Just keep it to what we know. Keep it to what we know. And also keep Jack in line because, as we all know, he likes to go on a bit. So, you know, you have my permission to just cut a lot of that out. Cut it all out if you want. It's fine.
Okay,
so we are doing a Wag's autobiography and I am going to be talking for 3 hours solidly.
Well,
I'm not keeping Jack in line. Jack's got free reign as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
Well, he doesn't, because much like the man in charge of the country that James is in, I'm taking charge and I don't want to hear any moaning. I'd assume that James is actually in South Korea. But
I was going to say.
Just did never actually double check that. And, you know, much very like true. Our protagonist today, geography is not my strong point. So it's my turn in the hot seat and you will all fall in line. There. Oh, God. No libel. Sorry, James. but anyway.
I think we can libel North Korea, right? That's okay.
I don't know.
Try it.
We'll give it a go.
What's he gonna do, seriously?
Get really
I'm out in the countryside this week. He doesn't know where I am, but it'll be coming to North London for you, Jack.
That's entirely fair. Wait, are we talking about James or Kim Jong-un?
Oh dear, well let's get into it, because Colleen really explained this book brilliantly in the foreword, if you remember. So to paraphrase, she says, "This isn't an autobiography. Sorry, James. I'm too young to write one of those. It's about my life, fashion, style, and beauty. And of course, shopping. And I know too many love talking to me about shopping. So yay, welcome." And I do think this is, she was about, well, it's 2007 it was written.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon she's early, 21, yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's and this is definitely the first book that we've done with a glittered cover.
Wait, just to check, is that true? Did Louis Saha not have a glittered cover? I can't remember.
Did he? He should have done.
No, definitely not.
Well, speaking of the cover, So I did get a hard copy sent, but it didn't turn up. And I thought I'd get it, but then James was like, well, I'll just get you the Kindle version. So I did. But my Kindle version, when I opened it, when you click on the thumbnail, it is the front cover with Colleen on it. But when it opens up, it's, what's that cricket guy called?
Matthew Hoggard.
Matthew Hoggard. And it's because they've both got an autobiography called Welcome to My World. Is that what it's called? And they've accidentally put Matthew Hoggard's front cover at the start of Colleen's book on the Kindle version, which is very funny.
Oh, that's really funny. Imagine sitting down for cover? Matthew Hoggard's, yeah.
Hoggy.
Hoggy.
Huggy. It says, Huggy, welcome to my world.
And it looks like he's been drawn on with biro.
There's a bit of there's like graffiti all around him. And then Andrew Flintoff is supposedly written, "He's mad as a box of frogs." So, that was a nice treat.
So if you were to get that on Kindle and you were a fan of Matthew Hoggard and you started reading and it said, "This is an autobiography, it's just how much about my life and how much I love shopping," how long through it do you think you'd get before you were like, "This is probably not Matthew Hoggard, is it?"
Like, which
I always knew Wayne Rooney was the one for me.
Which Wayne? There's something weird going on with the cover of this book, though, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but at the end of the book, there's a photo of her at the book launch for this book, holding it.
Yeah. There's a definite, what's the word? Recursive loop going on here, because they talk... The end of the book talks about the book coming out and how she's now a best-selling author as a result of the book coming out.
Yeah, but also mine says first edition, so how did she know that?
Oh my God, that's terrifying. She just predicted. There was a bit when it said at the end, it was like, well, in the last the 12 months since I wrote this, I've become a best-selling author. And my first thought was, wow, I didn't know she's written a book. It took a really long time for you to go, oh yeah, okay, yeah,
cool. Oh yeah, that one.
This one that I'm holding right now. Okay, yeah, I see. Oh.
To be fair, it is more like reading a Ms. magazine or something, isn't it? But I loved it. Oh, spoiler alert.
Okay, are we talking about how much we loved it? Because I'm willing to jump away.
Give me a minute, okay. Because over the show, I've got to keep some structure to this or I'll never be allowed in this seat again. So over the show, we're going to go into more depth about the book. And first, I've had a look at what Amazon is saying. And this might be my favorite Amazon section we've ever done, because divided. It was like Brexit up in there. It's got 3.8 stars from 36 ratings. And they're all pretty much either 5 stars or 0 stars. Wow. So I've picked one of each to take you through my favorite two. Okay. So the first one, 5 stars. This is, I didn't write who it was from because I feel like maybe that it hasn't aged very well and they wouldn't want to be outed. But I really, really like this book. You get to know Colleen so well. There's a chapter on all the things that she may or may not have for breakfast. And sometimes the writing is done in real handwriting instead of boring typing. Also, my favorite color is pink, which is good because I've never seen a book more pink. I recommend it to anyone with an interest in someone who is married to a celebrity. Would you agree?
That's fair
with that?
Enough. That's absolutely fair enough.
I would recommend it to anyone with an interest in someone who's married to a celebrity. What's your interest? Yeah. Oh, one of my biggest interests is people who are married to celebrities. What a great interest. Have I got the book for you?
Well, but there is something we haven't had on Amazon before, and that's a bit of literary subterfuge. Because Sylvia Clark wrote this.
I like how you were afraid of saying the first person's name, and this time you're like, no, straight in.
Sylvia's getting outed. Sylvia's getting outed because she sabotages Colleen's reviews with this shameless self-promotion. This is what she said. For originality, honesty, and insider knowledge from a mover and shaker in the fashion and beauty world, I place The Goddess Guide, not this book, way above it. The Goddess Guide is my book, an eclectic Bible with the best advice on everything from denim to tips from Dolce & Gabbana themselves. Sorry, I won't be swapping mine for Colleen's anytime soon, but if you check out both, you'll see for yourself which one is better. The cheeky bitch!
Also, so they can Sylvia go Clark, in the same realm. She doesn't have to like swap it for her and give her. She can
maybe it's Desert Island Discs, like The Goddess Guide or Welcome to My World.
But yeah, I like the idea that someone would reading like, should
being
I
stranded?
Oh yeah! Oh my god! Imagine being stranded with this.
And
book.
This is your book.
You'd look fabulous at all times.
Yeah, while the plane came to pick you up, you're like, wow, that guy. That's, I love the fashion sense of having a t-shirt with lots of necklaces. Genuine fashion tip in this book. But also the idea that you would be reading the reviews for Colleen Rooney's book and then be like, should I get this book? Oh no, this person has decided to recommend their book instead. Like they're a sort of a ticket tout at Edinburgh saying, don't go and see like Tim Vine. Come see my shitty one-man play in this pub. And you're like,
wouldn't you love it if like other footballers did this under the other biographies that we read? Though? How funny
that would
that
be! Amazing.
Like, it's so good.
I don't get Cristiano Ronaldo's book. You want Lee Trundle's masterpiece?
Well, that's what did amazing. You guys think about it? Did you enjoy it? Are you more of a Sylvia or more of a pink breakfast girl?
I think I'm. Oh, I like the pink. No, James, you go. Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, I think the first review pretty much nails it. It's an easy read. Nice bit of pink. Although there wasn't any pink in the Kindle version, so I'm just taking that out. And I really liked the hoggy...
the hoggy cover.
Jack?
Oh, jeez.
I think I'm 90% pink breakfast girl and 10% Sylvia. Well, no, I'm not even that. I think that it's undeniable there are bits of this book that are not even bad, just almost unreadable, I would argue. I would say there are like it's 330 pages long, and I would say about 20 of those pages are talking about what clothes she was bought like at Easter when she was 7. And at that point, it's seriously detailed, like about what clothes she was bought. And you have to sort of go through it and be like, and then occasionally what she wears now. And she's like, some people say I'm like a juicy tracksuits girl. Other times I'm like a Burberry girl. But, you know, sometimes I'm also, and it's just, for me personally, I just had no point of reference. So I was like, what am I doing here?
It's a bit, it's like the literary equivalent of like 20 McNuggets in a box or something, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Calming, soothing on a hangover. It's that sort of read.
I would say so, but then occasionally, like a McNuggets, you will like look at the McNugget and be like, what am I doing?
What is in this?
What is this made up of?
What is happening to me right now? And then you'll just carry on eating it because you'll be like, yeah, this is fine, really. But it's, yeah.
Fine.
Stuff like recommending face masks that she would wear. And I'm like, what am I doing here? What is my life right now? But for the most part, I think like you're absolutely right. It was a lovely book in a lot of ways and really nice. Really nice. A really nice book. A really nice book, and I enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And before James immediately cuts this off when he starts looking at it, I feel like maybe we should talk about a bit of football. So, Jack, what did you think of Wayne? Because he is in this book occasionally, in between the shoes and the tracksuits. He does make a rare appearance.
Well, it's a really interesting book because I suppose from my perspective, like, I don't know. Like, it's that question of if Wayne Rooney didn't exist, would this book exist? And I feel like you probably have to say no. Is that a mean thing to say? Just because?
No, I will agree with that. Yeah,
but also like, I mean, I think Colleen is a really interesting person, irrespective of Rooney, and it's sort of really interesting to see Rooney through her eye. So Rooney Wayne mm-hmm. through her eyes.
Our Wayne, but got to say that
our Wayne, our little our Wayne.
Our Wayne
talks about in with. I find it really interesting because like a lot of footballers, well, I suppose a lot of people have, you know, a lot of footballers have like childhood sweethearts and stuff. But because Wayne Rooney came onto the scene so young and there was so much interest in him, like. It's almost like it's hard to imagine other people being in his orbit, if that makes sense. And the fact that like Colleen is a child at the start of this book. Like there is a bit about like her getting photos taken of her when she is like literally 16 and she looks like she is completely a child. It's very weird to see this like paparazzi photo of like, oh look, the teenage sensation's girlfriend, and you're like, oh, but
yeah, famous one of her where she's walking down the street in her school uniform with the shopping bag, and looking back now it's like, what on earth? Like, it's wild. Yeah,
it's crazy. It's
bizarre and disgusting and really weird, and like I think she does a good job of talking about that, but I think in terms of how it kind of, I think because we're all like preconditioned with like footballers, if you're a teenage sensation, then you know that teenage sensation, you want to see what's going on in their life, like we'll camp outside his house and what's going on. But the fact that it would then like pass on to his girlfriend seems really weird. I mean, I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought Wayne came across really well in this book. I thought he seemed like a lovely lad. Like
he did, but like where Colleen came across as a child, Wayne came across as a toddler, which was really, really funny. It made me laugh so much, lots of these bits about Wayne.
I mean, you say that the toddler, like the bit that I think shocked me the most, or the bit I was like, wow, okay, I did not think about this with Wayne Rooney, was him at like parties when he starts dancing, and like he seems to force everyone to, he's like, everyone look at me, and then he'll get in the center and everyone around him will start to go Wayne, and he'll start doing flips and like he is a child, like he is a child at a wedding who has been allowed to stay up past like 8 o'clock. And it's really funny because Colleen is just like, oh god, it's begun again, the flips have started. she knows this is happening. It's really, really funny.
He's had too many sweets at the disco.
Wayne's gonna start flipping again. It's like, Rio, watch me flip, Rio.
I like that bit where he paid for all of them to go on a yacht in Saint-Tropez, and she's like, yeah, we were all out on the deck of the yacht and Wayne was watching his DVDs. He'd gone back into the bloody cabin to watch like Shark Tale or something.
It's a similar bit where she's like, Wayne hates the sun, So when we go away, he usually likes to stay in the shade and watch his DVDs.
Yeah, his DVDs. That is.
Like, I could just imagine him being like, "Oh, Colleen, can I have the can I have the iPad, please? I want to watch something on the iPad." No, 5 minutes. We're going to talk to Victoria and David for a little bit longer, and then you can watch on your iPad.
Fine.
I mean, I think he's really like. There are lots of bits of this book that are incredibly sweet with Wayne. There's a bit where I think Colleen says that he saved her from like drowning. Do you remember this bit?
Yeah.
When she's it's like the first holiday they went on to, like, I think it was somewhere in Spain or maybe it was Miami or no, Mexico. That was it. They were in Mexico. And she was like, "Oh yeah, I got caught under the waves." And everyone on the shore thought I was like dancing, I guess. But Wayne was the only one who noticed that, like, she was in trouble. So she jumped in. But she mentions this is about, like, I would say, 7/8 of the way through the book. Which is quite a long way away to say, "Oh yeah, my Wayne Rooney, my boyfriend, fiance, and now husband, saved me from drowning." That feels like a long time for that bit to come in this book,
especially when the previous sections have just been about like jelly shoes, and I think it might have a higher billing.
It goes. Everyone knows the perfect book goes jelly shoes, lip gloss, nearly dying, and your boyfriend saving you in a sea. And then a series of questions at the end about your life that are incredibly bonkers, and we must come on to.
Oh, don't worry. It's coming up. It's coming up.
Oh, good. I'm glad. But I mean, I think, I suppose I don't know what I was quite expecting, because I think we did the Wayne book. Do you remember when we did the Wayne Rooney book, which was like a diary? And I think Colleen only comes up a tiny bit in that. Which is fair enough because it's a Premier League diary and all the rest of it. But there's a bit where he's talking about them as when they were really young, because this is an earlier book, and it talks about them like getting drunk on a flight. Do you remember that? When they, there was the only place in, like, because they'd gone on holiday to America, but they couldn't drink because they were all underage.
I do remember on the flight this, back, yes.
They got absolutely wasted. That story does not make an appearance in this book. I'm quite sad about that. But, like, I think that gave a little bit of an insight into their relationship. But there are so many sweet, like, bits where I was just like, that, you know the bad stuff about Wayne Rooney, stuff that is clearly just bad judgment on their part. But, like, and also that Colleen, you know, talks about in this book quite a lot as well, and how awful it was. But, like, also there's stuff like them... when they were in America, because they couldn't drink, they just hung out in the hotel and like just sat and got room service, and then had arguments about how they should tip. And that being a couple basically being trapped in a hotel room shouting at each other, like, you give the money,
like,
you
lost give in the translation
money. Yeah, it's really sweet.
It's quite interesting to see, like, I don't think it's happened in a very long time where a wag is almost as famous as the footballer. We don't really get that anymore.
Yeah.
Or rather, I suppose what's interesting is, say, someone like Cheryl Cole or Victoria Beckham, like, they have definable careers that started before they went with, so they were very much like, we are equal people, or, you know, we're relatively equal people, and now we're sort of like, and, you know, Cheryl Cole and Ashley Cole. Whereas Rooney, obviously, like, Rooney was a superstar, and Colleen was at the start along for the ride, and now at least both in the, I would say in this book, she's sort of, at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I buy this idea of, like, you know, I'm a fashion icon, or like people have said I'm a fashion icon, and that I'm, you know, creating my own brand. But I do think by the end of it, and also midway through it, you sort of do get to the stage where you're like, okay, yeah, you've done an incredible job with your career, which is obviously based on the fact that you are the girlfriend of Wayne Rooney, but then all the other stuff that came out afterwards, and also all the other stuff of, like, how she's positioned herself, that is all her, and now she's would you say she's as famous as Wayne?
I think now, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the Agatha Christie thing helped. But I mean, as someone who grew up as you know, down the road in Stoke, seeing her with those cricket carrier bags. I remember I bought a cricket carrier bag on eBay to take my PE kit to school in.
Really?
Yeah, because I can't That's tell you like, how she was in vogue, and I loved football, but as a girl at my school at that age, it wasn't really cool. It was just because my family did. But you could be a fan of Colleen because it was girly and acceptable. And I loved her so much. I was like, yeah. And that was actually, that was kind of the point that I wanted. Yeah. I think I can't overstate the impact that she had on raising the profile of football amongst women. And I know it's probably in a backward way, and we're kind of in a new wave of feminism now, and it wouldn't stand now. But I actually think, like, her presence and all of them, but her, because she wasn't a pop star. She could have been me or my friend or someone that, you know, my cousin or something.
Yeah.
Being at these events and bringing this sort of glamour to it. It did make us all, we all watched that World Cup. I remember watching that with groups of female friends. We'd never done that before because we were so obsessed with this culture. And I actually think, like, I'm going to surprise you here because I've obviously been waiting to read a Wags book for a very long time. But the thing that I wanted to talk about is the football in it. Because I think, yes, obviously, it's not a football book. But if you're someone that doesn't know anything about football, this is the best book to possibly read. Because clearly she actually is quite into sport. Not saying, you know, her favorite shop is cricket, but not that kind of cricket. But like, her dad's a boxer. Her brothers all play a lot of sport. She grew up around it. She was with Wayne from such a young age. And the way she talks about football is kind of endearing. As some, like, to me, like, because the thing that I like about football is the kind of culture and the history and the anthropology of it. It's interesting to me in that way.
Yeah.
But there's so much, especially as a woman, but I'm sure everywhere, there's so much assumed knowledge in football that it can be quite daunting to even want to start a conversation with someone about it. And I love the way that she references football things as if they're really normal. And then she'll say, oh, by the way, that's what this is. Like, because there's so many times that you want to get involved in a conversation, but you don't want to feel stupid with football. And she really gets her audience. Like, the bit that got me was she says, oh, we used to go out the back of the house and do a Klinsmann.
I love that bit. I love that bit so much.
And that's kind of like the title of the chapter. And she talks about her and her brothers playing, and like, they would, you know, her dad would go out and play football with them and stuff. But then she really neatly summarizes underneath that the cultural heft of what that meant at the time. And it's quite nice. Like, as someone, because you've got to imagine that people reading this book probably don't know anything about football. And she mentions all of these little tidbits that you could go away and you could sit with the boys in the pub and be like, oh yeah, I know what that means. I get that reference.
I know. Do you want to go around the back and do a Klinsmann right now? We'll do it right now.
you don't want to ask that in the pub, because that might, something else might happen if you get on your knees behind the pub. But but the bit where she, like, she talks about the Manchester Liverpool rivalry really eloquently, and I got the feeling, as I never read this book when I was younger, but I probably would have quite enjoyed it, because I would have been like, oh, I know what that means. And if my friends read it, we could kind of talk about it. And I think as a initial touch point for football, for women, I reckon there's a lot of women out there now of my age where this probably was like an intro to it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. It's just
a crazy thing to say, but I would never have read a football autobiography. I'm paying for my sins now, but like, I just never would have. But this I probably would have got for Christmas or something, you know. And there's be thousands of girls like that who will have picked up kind of the politics of football, what it means to be in one league versus the other, what it means to like tour with your team and stuff. It's just interesting. I quite like that.
That is true. A part of it made me laugh when she was like, you know, sometimes we only get 3 weeks to go on a holiday. Wayne gets quite far in international competition, so that's a bit of a drag. And it's like, That's a good thing for Wayne.
Yes and no. Well, there's a bit where there's a very funny bit in the updated version when she's saying in 2007, she's like, obviously, I really hope England qualify for next year's European Championships, but if they don't, we'll get to get married. So, and then England didn't qualify as well. So I was like, well, probably pretty
well,
good.
Well, never mind.
Well,
Colleen hexed them.
I think that's something I'd never really considered, and I definitely was aware while reading this book. There was a lot of nostalgia. I mean, there's so much nostalgia for like the noughties in general, but also like a lot of like nostalgia.
There were people I forgot existed. Ashley Simpson. I forgot that woman existed.
But just the casual way it was thrown in, like Ashley Simpson. You know, the Ashley Simpson. You're like, oh my god, this is the most. There's a bit where he says, like, oh, everyone was there at Wayne's 18th birthday party. Even Busted were there. And you're like, even Busted.
I thought it was funny when she's talking early on about, I think it's when they first went away with England, maybe. And she was talking about all the people there, like Victoria Beckham, Cheryl Tweedy at the time. And then she was like, and Paul Robinson's wife. I was like, but she's reading it like, why didn't I get the notoriety that these people got? Why am I just Paul Robinson's wife? She never broke through. It's because Paul Robinson's the most boring wife who've ever existed in the history of life.
Well, there are.
I was trying to think of a great, 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 great grandma joke then, Jack.
What do you mean?
About Busted. I was like,
I'd completely. I was like, is my great, great grandma the wife of Paul Robinson?
Ooh, who do you think you are?
But Tash, but no, do you think? Here's a question for you. In the year 3000, will anyone still be reading Colleen's book, or will we be?
If I have anything to do with it, And to be honest, it's so plasticky, it will still be around. So it probably,
will.
Yeah.
Will anyone be reading Hoggy in the year 3000?
There'll be a bunch of people trying to read Hoggy and then finding out they're actually reading Colleen Rooney's book instead and being like,
This could be a great novel in itself if you radicalized all the men in like some sort of cult just by reading the cricket book, and you got all the women just by reading the WAG book and see what society looked like.
That's really interesting. The cricket thing, by the way, because I did not get the cricket joke at the start of that chapter at all. I had no cultural understanding of what cricket meant. And it was like, my favorite sport, it's cricket. And I was like, okay, that's weird. What a weird thing. Turns out, if you're not a big Colleen McLaughlin/Rooney fan, cricket is her favorite like clothes shop. She absolutely loves it. Mm-hmm. I cannot begin to tell you how much she loves cricket.
It was fuchsia pink with black zebra stripes on it, and it said cricket in white, and it was paper, and I can't remember how much I paid for it, but it was a lot, and it rained the day that I took it with my school with my PE kit in, and I was devastated. Honestly, no,
that's really sad. That's legitimately and I really definitely sad.
I definitely like pretended that I'd been to cricket and I had never. I'd just got it on eBay. Okay, well, time for a break, but we will have more Wagatha when we return.
Hello, James here, and we at Football Book Club want you. That's right, you. To join something special, something exclusive, we want you to join the Football Book Club Club. The Football Book Club Club is the home of even more Football Book Club action. And now, it's cheaper than ever to become a full member at just £3.50 a month. There's three tiers. By signing up to our Bookworm tier, you get an exclusive members-only episode of Football Book Club every fortnight, filling the gap between regular episodes with more book club fun and, frankly, a frighteningly deeper analysis of whatever book we're reading in the episode. Plus, you get access to all the bonus episodes recorded so far. There's over 20 of them on there. Well, 20. And most excitingly, you'll get your hands on a special edition Money Can't Buy bookmark you can put inside your personal copy of Darren Huckabee's Hucks. All that for just £3.50 a month. For context, that's a tenth of the cost of a cameo message from Ian Dowie. And a cameo is, what, 30 seconds? For that price, you get 10 episodes. That's 3.5 hours of content. I dread to think what you have to pay to get 3.5 hours of content from Ian Dowie. You'd have to remortgage your house. But I digress. And if that's still not right for you, if you really love the show, you can join the Super Bookworm tier. And if you like the show but don't want to pay that much, you can support the show for just £1 a month on the Casual Reader tier. You won't get the bonus episodes, but yes, you will get that bookmark. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub for more details. So, if you enjoy the show, please consider joining up. It really does help us to keep making the show, because books don't grow on trees. They are trees, kind of. And trees are expensive. But the Football Book Club isn't. So join today at patreon.com/footballbookclub or by following the link in the episode notes. See you back at the clubhouse.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Do you need more sketch comedy in your life?
This is a flesh-eating bacteria I stole from work.
Well, you stole that from the lab, did you, mate?
Yeah.
Then you need Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. With me, Tom Crowley.
When did you lose your virginity?
2nd of October 1993 on a pool table.
Each episode features brand new sketches, characters and songs.
No time to die and no love to lose. Let the life I choose.
As well as returning regular features.
These are the diaries of Link Tangent, space cartographer.
I'm Sir Chantley Buffingham.
Hello, my name is Wingnut.
All written, performed, and produced by me, Tom Crowley.
He may look frightening, but he's innocent. He knows not what he does.
Over 8 hours of original sketch comedy. Available now on all good podcast apps and at CrowleyTime.com.
Have you ever had constipation?
No, it can be a bit like that.
That's Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. Subscribe today.
Crowley Time!
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where I have still kept the chair, and we are still reading Colleen Rooney's Welcome to My World.
I have to tell you, I'm pretty surprised at how quickly we've just accepted this new world order. Like, it makes me think that revolutions are quite easy.
It's because you've been reading this book and you've been indoctrinated into the all things feminine, you know, you quite
I'm fine with that. I'm legitimately fine with that. There's a lot of
I welcome our new WAG overlord.
To go back to the Rooney, like to the idea that Wayne can't dress himself, there's a lot of bits in this book where you are just like, if Colleen didn't exist, Wayne Rooney would fall down dead naked in a ditch.
He'd be like one of those blobfish, you know, when you see it in the water and it looks quite like handsome, but then you take it out of the water and it's like it just goes, smushed.
Like he just seems incapable
Wayne
of doing
without Colleen.
Anything.
Yeah,
there's a bit where he's like, where she's like, he bought the worst leather jacket in the world that was really red, and he thought it was
a red
boss.
Leather jacket.
And she was like, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. He was like, I think it's good. And he wore it once and then never wore it again. I think Wayne Rooney, if he didn't have Colleen, Wayne Rooney would have played twice for England and then would have been pictured naked except for that leather jacket in a nightclub somewhere, and that would have been the end of it.
Yeah. Or
when he grows his beard, that's funny. When he tries to grow a beard.
Yeah.
There's a really funny bit in that. I can't remember exactly what she says, but she's like, people were speculating why he was doing it, whether it was some kind of bet. But there was no reason. He just didn't shave. But yeah, that's what happens when you don't shave. A beard will grow.
How mortified would you be if your wife wrote a book and she had a whole top 10 listicle on the things that she wanted a man to wear because you couldn't dress yourself? Like, I'd never leave your house again.
Well, there's also a bit in this book where she's like, whenever I started doing my like article for Closer, Wayne started reading it religiously because he wanted to see if I was going to slag him off. And then I did it a couple of times. And he was like, why just
that's
say that?
That's why she wrote this to be 300 pages, because she knew he was never going to read it.
Exactly. I think it starts off with talking about Wayne. And there's a bit with Wayne talking about his DVDs. Like, I like DVDs. Maybe I'll go watch a DVD now. And then he didn't read the rest of the book.
Well, I will keep some structure in this, because otherwise I will get in trouble structure. From the actual overlord. I know, but it's everyone's favourite bit. Have you got an out of context, Colleen?
Oh yeah, I got,
because there was some corkers in here.
That's some absolute corkers in this book.
I've got one.
Okay,
I've got one that's an out of context / a partridgeism.
I love it.
Which I'm tempted to read it into Partridge voice, but I won't. So it's
no, do it in Colleen's voice.
What is a voice like? Just strong scouse.
Yeah.
She says, the truth of the matter is, I'm blind. No, I can't say that, but my eyesight is quite bad. You can't say that, Colleen. Not allowed.
Oh, that's really funny.
That wouldn't be making the cut these days.
Yeah. No, I can't say that. Okay, mine, hang on. I have.
You can do two. You can do one for James Bug and we'll pretend he said it.
Oh, yeah.
My mum and my nan, me, my cousins, my aunties and friends. We all smell the same now. You think I'm joking, don't you?
But me and my mum and my nan and my gran.
But also, it could be like she's on a news night BBC thing at 9 where a disaster has happened and they're like... We all smell the same now. You think I'm joking, don't you? Well, we do. Really
mine is whatever did we do before the Scissor Sisters came on the scene?
That was my other one that I wanted to find. I love that so much. Whatever did we do? We just no one was taking anyone's mothers. I guess everybody felt like dancing all the time. So funny. Those, I will be honest, those top 10 bits, the bits where says, like, they are diabolical. They are absolutely diabolical.
Are they? I was trying to think, though, who was it who ranked all the service stations? Because is this better or worse than the service station
Holt.
Ranking?
It was Grant Holt,
It was Grant
and
Holt.
Wrestlers and chocolate bars.
At least you learned something from Colleen. Like, you only put your face mask on right at the end of your skincare regime.
But I mean, hang on, I'm going to try and find my favorite bits of those, because they were so funny. Just a lot of them were like
my favorite was in case of emergencies, and she had a list of the six things that everyone should have in their bag. And it was dental floss, cotton buds, oil blotters, bloody hell's an oil blotter, a nail file, lip gloss, and a tiny bottle of your favorite perfume. I hope I never go missing with Colleen, because we'll be fucked.
Do you have water in the back or what are those
pepper spray in there, Colleen?
Yeah, no, I've just got my perfume atomizer and some oil blotters. Also, that is really weird, because she says, I know none of us get sweaty, sorry, perspire. What's going on there? What?
This is a girl from who's been out of Liverpool too long, and she doesn't want to say sweaty because she thinks it makes it sound common.
I don't.
Colleen,
oh,
we all sweat, babe. It's fine.
We all sweat, babe.
You say, like, of a Saturday night. I was like, why are you talking like that?
Yes, of a Saturday night. Of a Saturday night. there's a bit where they, I think it might have been when they're talking about the other Saturday night, where she says they had a barbecue once when, and it started raining, so they just ran inside, and then it kept on raining, and then the next morning all the food had fallen into the swimming pool, and there was just a burger floating near her, and she said it was really gross. And I was like, that visually, the idea of a burger floating towards you is really visceral. There's a bit also when she says how to look fab and glam. This is another one of those ones where it says the right pair of sunglasses.
Fab and glam.
How to look fab and glam in an instant. And it says the right pair of sunglasses can lend mystery and midnight glam to any outfit. What's the one time you don't wear sunglasses? The one time.
Remarkable.
And okay. Also, sorry. I was obsessed with this bit. Another way of looking fab and glamorous, and this is again, I think, the most naughty thing ever. Tuck those jeans into your boots. Let's be honest, what's good for Kate Moss and Madonna is good for everyone else. It's amazing how something so simple can look so sexy. Does it look sexy?
No, because what I remember doing is, like, for ages, bootcut jeans were in fashion. So I had a pair of them and the Ugg boots. But then skinny jeans came in fashion, but my mum refused to buy me any. So I used to have to tie up the flare at the bottom with bobbles. And I basically cut off the circulation and then I'd tuck it into my Ugg boot. But if, you know, I didn't have the real Ugg boots, obviously.
Yeah.
But the water would soak up them, but because my jeans were tucked in, it would also soak up my jeans. So I'd get home and like up to my thigh. I don't know how I didn't get trench foot.
And also you'd cut off the circulation to your foot. So you were basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I honestly.
About to go gangrenous.
Gangrene. Yeah. Yes. Well, this is what Colleen did to a whole generation of women. Fuck you, Colleen, actually. I've got fallen arches now because of them stupid Ugg boots.
Really? Oh, no.
Anyway, James. Sorry,
there you go.
James, I can talk about fashion forever. I feel like you want to take us to sunnier climes, no?
Well, there's a little section called Beach Babe, which really made me laugh, and I don't know why. We kind of touched upon it a little bit earlier. Just it was when they were quite young, because when you're reading it, it's easy to forget how young they actually were. They were about 17. But when you're reading it, you're like, why are they idiots? Why are they absolute idiots? Like that bit that we mentioned before with the tipping. Like the concept of them wanting to go on holiday every week, but then being little children when they get there. and they don't know how to organize any of it. It's just really funny until their parents get there and tell them what to do. Which, in fairness, they were like 17. So why would they know what to do in a different country? But they just didn't even attempt to figure it out. And the bit with the tipping just really made me laugh. Like, hard man footballer Wayne Rooney is like hiding behind a door because he's scared of American tip culture. It's just so funny. In case he gets it wrong, just peeking around the door, just like, is $700 all right? Just like, just clueless. Just they don't have a clue what they're doing.
To really be fair, like, it terrifies me. I keep seeing all these tweets being like, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I don't know. I don't blame him.
I saw this in a tweet today. Somebody said, this guy zeroed me. Is that not giving a tip in America? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
It is quite scary though, because it's such a big thing there. But the fact that, like, that's different. Them just hiding behind the door and going, you give him the 20. No, you give him the 20. Like, ridiculous.
No, I've definitely done that, because I'm like, is this insulting or is this a lot or is this much? Not? I don't know.
I find it very scary. I think there should always be a door that you can hide behind in an American restaurant for that reason.
Yeah, but if you're Wayne Rooney, who I suppose you didn't have that much.
He was 17.
But he could have easily given, like, let's just give $50 every time just to make sure.
Yeah, but they were only drinking bloody 7-Up, weren't they? They couldn't drink.
Because they couldn't drink. That was the thing. They had, like, children. It sounds like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone 2, really.
At least Kevin had a plan, though. And Kevin tipped.
Kevin got a piece plan. These two are like Pinky in the Brain.
That's true.
And ironically, Colleen's not Pinky. we're kind of coming to the end of the book. So the big question, did this book change you?
Yeah. Because I've never imagined a caravan painted turquoise and beige. And now I have. And she said it like it was a good thing. And it's been in my head ever since I read that bit.
Duck Egg Blue had a real moment back then, actually, didn't it? In the interiors world. My mum had a Duck Egg Blue kitchen for a while.
Specifically for caravans as well, though. I think a Duck Egg Blue caravan is a real risk. It's a real risk. I think this book, legitimately, I think this book did change me. Not even in like a jokey kind of, you know, that, I mean, we still have to talk about those weird questions at the end of the book, surely.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. As long as we're doing that, then I'm fine with that. But I think
I like the lists. Especially when we like, you know, she's mentioned Wei and Rooney having pretty bad fashion sense, and she's given these lists, and I just imagine them at the end, just when she's like, so there's a summer one here, it's like hot stuff, the sun's shining down, the sky is blue, and the sand between your toes. Complete the perfect summer look by making sure your beach bag contains the following. And she gives all lists. I just imagine at the end when it's like, put red leather jacket, just come on.
Come on.
Maybe I can't pull it off, but I think it's a... She's like, no, I'm putting sarong and sand.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to work. I think legitimately, I don't think I registered how young Colleen was at the start of all this, which is incredibly obvious because obviously she is that young. And I think that the way she talks about the press, and she sort of says she has a really weird relationship with them, because I think she's sort of aware that they have made her, but not really, she has a relationship with them that, unlike a lot of footballers, like, you know, it's not the same as footballers where they kind of, they ignore the press, or like, you know, if you're playing well, it doesn't really matter, but like, she sort of requires them to like, for her, the existence of her career in a lot of ways. And so I think the way she talks about them and how difficult it is, there's a bit, the bit where she says, the Daily Mail made up like a hatchet job on her and Wayne, and so she rang up the journalist and like shouted down the phone in for 30 minutes. That is, can you imagine being 21 and doing that? Like, incredible. And also, like, it sort of makes you realize how far she has to have been pushed to get to that point. And also that
she says she almost turned down being in Vogue because she at that time she was so sick of the press. Imagine being like 19, being asked to be in Vogue when everybody else is calling you the Queen of Chav or whatever, and saying no because you're so scared of the press. Like, she really went through the ringer.
And also because you are like, she is adores fashion, and she like she wants to make it her entire life. It's incredible that she even considered for a second turning it down, but like, the press were willing to do that. And I hope things have gotten, I mean, I think social media has made things both better and worse in a lot of ways. But one good thing about the social media is that it's kind of allowed, you know, Colleen Rooney, as well we know, she can now control her image in a much better way than she had to go through, you know, like, all of these articles and all the rest of it. And the fact that she talks about Vogue being like this turning point for her, and before she was the queen of chavs, and then she kind of like built the brand after that, I thought that was stuff that I'd never really considered. And I found that really, really interesting. And in a way that, like, I think cynically and lazily, my opinion of Colleen Rooney before this was basically like, she is someone who went out with Wayne Rooney and was then able to make a career like as a result of that fact. And
she was a bit passive in it, but actually,
but I think actually she's incredibly active, and not just in the cynical. I mean, she talks about like doing a fashion or not doing a fashion video, doing a exercise video, and that she admits is like a very cynical thing to do, because she was basically like, everyone's doing it, and so I decided to do it too, so why the hell not? But like, I think for the most part, like, you know, talking about her family and about her adopted sister who had Rett's disease, and like doing documentaries and like
where she talks about her body image and stuff, like, at the time, think about what was going on in the noughties. Like, that was the peak of anorexia. I remember her, like, the press always saying how fat she was and how gross she was. And you look at these pictures now and she's so like gorgeous and she must have felt crap, but she doesn't give a fuck. And I love that. She's like, I'm doing.
It's not a kind of like, it's not a, like a polemic against the press. It's just that it's a very well argued, like how she's both fed up with them, but also like use them for like to push her career forward in a way that is incredibly powerful. And the stuff that you were talking about, like the fact that she was an inspiration in a very like subtle, like I guess I'd never registered that before, and that makes me feel very like I should have known these things beforehand. But so I think legitimately of any of the books we've done, probably did change me more than most of them, I'd say.
It unlocked boxes in my brain that I'd forgotten existed of that like very specific period. Yeah, exactly. But like when this book came out, I would have been 15. You know, that is the most impressionable age, isn't it? And I just remember her being the most famous person ever. And I could never be Victoria Beckham or Cheryl, but I could be Colleen. And we were, that was who we all wanted to be. She was like the every woman. It's quite nice reading this and being like, actually, people at the time probably thought she was a bad role model, but I don't think she was. I think she's very strong. She's very, you know, she stands up for what she thinks is right. She did a lot of work that I forgot about all that charity work that she did and all those documentaries that she did. Like, yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised, and I've unlocked that bit of my brain, because I think Agatha Christie has kind of usurped everything that will ever be said about Colleen. But you can see where that came from now, because she does not back down. Like, she's a smart woman, and she would.
Yeah.
And this is when she's 21. Like, now, she will take you to task. And I'm quite glad that that's the outcome. It feels like the season finale.
Yeah, like, that's definitely true.
We've seen her character development.
Yeah, that's like, this is it's almost like a prequel to the Agatha Christie that we know.
Yeah, yeah, really you can fun. See all and, of the, like, she's a really loyal friend, she's really smart, she hates people writing fake stories about her in the press, and what,
and
what
she knows,
do you get
and
at
she
the
knows
end of
how
that?
To, like, to... She knows how to like say if you read a fake story where they say, you know, a close friend to the press, it won't actually be true, because my friends don't do that. And so that's cunning. She's a cunning woman. She's a cunning, clever woman. That is also, sorry, this is the last thing I'll say, but there was a bit that was really interesting where she was talking about like how she's aware that she's got her image at the moment through being the girl next door. And then the question of like how temporary that is, and like how do people want to hear about the woman next door? And she was kind of like, I don't really know. So I have to work out what this moment is for me, and I'll do it with Wayne. It'll be amazing. But like that having the awareness to see that this is, you know, to see long term, I guess, is something that we don't often get from these books. I mean, like, yeah,
no, they very much sort of, I guess, because as a footballer, you know that your career has a certain length of time, and realistically her career could be much longer than his, and it's interesting to see her think about that, you know.
Yeah, and I think that like with footballers, it's very much like once I stop playing football, I cannot begin to think about that, because after that point I am, what is my identity? Whereas she is very much like, okay, Wayne's going to stop playing football at when he's mid-30s. At that point, we could go to Australia. We could do this. I could do this. We could, like, she's got it all mapped out in a way that is not cynical, but very much like she knows how she wants her life to go. And that was quite inspiring.
Hmm. So.
Good on her.
After that, what's your rating out of 10?
I don't want to go first. I'm afraid of setting the bar.
I'm gonna give it an 8. I think it was more seminal than I thought it was gonna be. I thought it was gonna be absolute junk, and I'm not gonna lie, the initial impression when I flicked through it and saw all the photos and the listicles, actually, if you read the words, there's some nuggets of wisdom in there.
I would agree with that. I'd say there are bits of this book that are legitimate nines, There are bits of this book that are the drossiest of threes. But I think the nines outweigh the threes, and therefore I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
Fuck it, 10. just liked it. Liked the ping.
Like that you knew what she got for breakfast.
Like the breakfast stuff. Like the lists. 10 all around. Like the front cover. Hoggy.
Constant. Tens.
The perfect book.
We should do
it. Oh, no, somebody has to work that out.
I know. Maths is not my thing. Someone work it out, okay, quick.
25 divided by 3 is... I can do this. 8.33333.
Okay.
Perfect.
I should have gone. I should have gone higher. I regret it now.
No, I think 8.3 is fair. I think 8.3 is fair. And I have written my very own quiz.
Yes.
Ba-da-da-da-da. And this week, you're named. And I'm so happy it's a quiz and I'm not going to play in part because I've never won one. So I can finally like sit one out. This week.
He's always going to
Well, you're named after Colleen's two best friends' nicknames. Jack, you are Brenda. James, you are Cilla Black.
I love those names. I was really hoping that was going to be one of the quiz questions. Shit.
Okay, so... there's 2 points up for grabs here. Okay. Who does Colleen say are her two style icons?
Oh, my God. Oh, crap. I should definitely know this. There were so many names in this book. That's the problem. Oh. I got him. I got it.
Go on.
Brenda. Not Brenda. Misha Barton and Lindsay Lohan.
No!
No, really?
No, you're just thinking generic noughties style.
No, I'm not. She mentioned a specific. She mentioned people that she really.
She does
admired.
Mention them, but they're not her style icons.
Ah, crap.
Any takers? Kate Moss is one. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh God, you're
the
right.
The other one's a bit of a rogue choice. Yes, Kat Dealy. One each.
That's what I was thinking. It would be like someone who's like known for being a style icon and someone who's like more of a like a working class hero.
Yeah,
like
Kat Dealy.
Love Kat Dealy.
Kat Dealy's not a working class
hero. Yeah, she is. Brummy.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking of. Kat Slater. That's what you meant. I thought that's what I heard. Kat Slater. She is a working class hero.
She is. Who is the only person that Colleen says should be allowed to wear a short skirt and high heels together? One person in the world.
I Brenda.
Yeah.
Beyonce?
Yes.
I was going to say Rio Ferdinand.
I think it specifically has to be in the Crazy in Love video.
It does. You are correct. Yeah. What is Colleen's boxing name given to her by her dad?
Oh crap. I can't remember Brenda, but I can't remember, but I can remember the fact that her brother didn't get one. she goes like, I was called this, he was called this, and Anthony, I can't remember what he was called, but he probably had one. Really made me laugh. Like, fuck you, Anthony.
Didn't even make one up.
Yeah.
Any guesses?
No.
It's quite
hammer.
Big Betty.
That was it. Yes, Big Betty. Yes.
Okay, two left, and Jack's in the lead by one. What is the only reality TV show that Colleen says she would do?
Brenda.
Yeah.
Strictly Come Dancing. And I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with her. I'd love to see Colleen in Strictly, and I'd love to see Colleen in Taskmaster New Year's Treat. Those are the only two things I want to see her in.
Oh, please! Crossover, please!
Crossover. Why not?
Come on, Colleen. Last question. What is Colleen's favourite song of all time?
Brenda.
Yeah.
Is it? She doesn't have one, but it's something from the Grease Megamix.
Yes, correct.
Why does my brain know that?
How did you remember that?
Because again, it really made me laugh. She would go
to clarify, that was in a listicle.
Oh my god,
was it?
My favorite listicle is the one at the end. It's so funny. It is so so funny, that listicle at the end. It's one of the funniest things I've ever read.
Which one? The one with all of her music in.
The one with all of her music in, but also the one. It goes. I need to talk for about like 5 minutes about this listicle because it blows
about
my
the
mind.
Thing at the end.
The thing at the end is amazing. Can we talk about that yet?
We can talk about that, but give me a minute because
okay.
I've got to get on to something else first, and then we'll circle back to it. So there is no Kenzong this week because. Well, not because, but I am a Kenzong truther because I've never actually seen this man with my own eyes.
Sure.
And lo and behold, the week that James is in Korea, there's no Kenzong. So take that as you will.
Interesting.
And we can talk about that section, Jack. But just to let you know, if anyone's interested, over in the Book Club Club on Patreon, I'm going to be putting these two boys through a Colleen-approved psych exam.
That is what I want to talk about. Oh my god, okay, maybe we should just save it for the bonus chapter.
Before Wagatha Christie, she was putting psychology into her books too. So Jack, you can give a little rundown, but if you want to hear the rest of it, we'll do it in bonus chapter.
It is one of the strangest it's one of the weirdest things.
Did it throw you for? Because I was reading it on the train, and I honestly, I nearly threw it out the window. I was like, "What the actual fuck has just happened?" It was like Gone Girl, you know, that twist comes in, and you're like, "What?"
because the questions are like at the first, they're like, "What's your favorite food?" She's like, "Ah, spaghetti bolognese." Like, "What's your favorite song?" I don't have a favorite song, but I guess it would be All of Greece. What do you vote? Nah, I don't really like the politics. Not a fan of that. Okay, let me do a test on you. You're in a wood. It's like, what the fuck? And then she starts to answer, and it's stuff. I mean, we'll go into the psych exam and exactly how weird it is later, but it turns out it's basically a way of apparently finding out whether you believe in the afterlife. And it turns out Colleen Rooney does not believe in the afterlife, and she found out, and I would argue, the most traumatic way possible, which is a fun little questionnaire at the end of the book.
That's why she wants vengeance on Earth, because she doesn't believe in retribution afterwards. She's taken everyone down while she's still rolling.
It's so funny because she seems to be as surprised by it. It's like, who's asking these questions? Like, is she dead? Is this God asking her these questions? It's amazing. I can't wait to talk more about it in the bonus chapter. It's incredible.
Well, on that note, that is all for this week's episode, but we'll be back in a fortnight. And if you can't wait that long, join the Book Club Club, where we'll be doing whatever weird shit this is about to be. to listen, make sure you join the club to access all of these exclusive episodes and receive your very own bookmark. Can I say it properly? Can I say it in my actual Stoke accent? Bookmark! Yay!
Yeah!
Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. In the meantime, do get in touch with us at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club. Send us your thoughts, author footballer puns, and Kenzong requests if he exists. Thank you, everyone. And any last words?
I think death to James Bug, long live Tash Bisco, really. That's all it can be. Bye. Bye, James.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured Natasha Frisco, Jack Bernhardt, and James Balgen. It was created and produced by James Bug. The music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner and is used on a Creative Commons 4.0 basis. We'll be back in a fortnight. Until then, bye-bye.
Thank you. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.